Welcome back to Talkville, the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast, the best rewatch podcast you could ever find. We got Welling here. Tom, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right. A little scattered today, but happy to be here. Thank you, Ryan, for making the time. Bryce, thank you for producing all these ideas.
Ryan was just saying that he doesn't even set his alarm clock. He doesn't need to get here till 10:30. The guy just rolls in and rocks.
I went for a run this morning.
Good for you. That's good for mental clarity.
It is. So I'm going to have lots of clarity on today's episodes.
I like it. We've had some great episodes, and thanks for being here. We have a really cool thing. If you're not a patron, I suggest you join patreon.com/talkville. Patreon.com/talkville. We have now a thing where we get patrons, top tier patrons, on the show. You could be on the show and talk about Smallville and Talkville and all that stuff and hang out with us.
Let's talk to the patrons. We keep talking about this, but when we were in DC, we had that party and everybody showed up. I loved hearing what everybody's handle was, putting a face to the handle, if you know what I mean.
All you have to be is a top tier patron, and Bryce will choose you, and we'll mix them up.
Oh, so it's up to Bryce. You gotta bribe the Bryce.
Join patreon.com/talkville today. Become a top tier, and eventually you'll get on the show. And I could also ask questions. Top tiers can ask questions, which is if you just go to the at Talkville pod on Instagram or Twitter, all that stuff. It's up there. It's up there. It's in the show's description. Also on my Instagram at the Michael Rosenbaum in my link tree, you can see what cons Tom and I are going to. You could see where we're going to perform Smallville Nights. We're also doing a Smallville con in New Jersey in October. So you got to get your tickets to that. We've never done one before. So planning.
By the way, that is going to sell out.
Yes. And we're trying to get as many guest stars as we can. Guest stars and whatever.
It's going to sell out. Yeah.
Also, our hotline. Leave questions. People come up to me and they go, when should I leave a question for episode? I go, I don't know. Just leave a question. Bryce will look through them and he'll get you on there if we can. So so just do that. And, you know, we have very special guests on the show here and there. And now with the Patreon thing, it's really cool. I'm very
both
excited.
Of them here and there. They're both going to be guests.
Here
right,
and
Ryan?
There. Here and now. Yes. And there's something else. Oh, Tom and I are working on, we're going to do a live Talkville podcast. And it's going to be like Smallville Nights. We're going to do a show. We're going to do the VIP.
We'll find the dates.
Greet.
Yep.
And that's going to be sometime when Tom gets me the date. We're going to figure it out and we'll get that posted. But you want to.
Well, I'm traveling to you and Ryan and Bryce. So, I want to pick a date where I want to pick a date that I can protect that I won't change. So I'm working on that.
You'll want to get tickets to that because that's going to be a night. It starts at like 5 p.m. or something for, you know, you get the whole package, or you could just come watch the podcast, get a ticket to see that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Will the podcast that we record on that date be
no
on this?
No,
no,
we're not going to record it. Nice. I don't believe we'll talk about it, but it's kind of hard to do that because it's unlike the podcast live is going to be a lot different than the what you're getting, because this is an edited crazy fun version. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll come up with something, but it will be a lot of fun. So it will be in Los Angeles sometime, hopefully, I believe, in April. Without further ado, let's get into season 4, episode 11. This is Unsafe. All right. Title Unsafe aired January 26, 2005, 1.5 months after the last one aired. Director Greg Beeman, writers Stephen S. DeKnight, who I love, and Jeff Loeb, who we love. He'll be on the show again. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker. She will be here. So we got that. We got a patron. There's so much fun going on. John Piper Ferguson is Dr. William McBride. Synopsis. Smallville gets horned up as Clark is revisited by an old fling during a time when he is most vulnerable, and Lana is determined to win back her ex at any cost.
The episode begins at the most happening place in Smallville, the Talon. That coffee shop that looks like a movie theater. As his classmates are enjoying themselves, Clark is by himself doing homework. He gets invited to a hot tub party, but turns down the good time because he doesn't want to get into another lying about his powers situation. Martha tries to reassure him that there's someone out there for him, and he replies that only someone crazy would want to be with him.
I just want to give, I know I I'm like a broken record about Annette, but isn't she just the grounding force? Like, without Annette,
she doesn't even have to say anything. Just
she's
her
so good.
Reactions. She's so
she's
good.
Just great. Yeah,
it's good that she's in the Talon now. I think that's a good. It's fun that she can sort of be in those places.
Be in those environments.
Yeah.
We cut to Belle Reve and see a familiar face, Alicia Baker, being released by her medical staff because they believe she is cured. The crazy is gone. This is the second person in two episodes to be released from prison after attempted murder. Lionel was the other one. Clark takes his trig homework back home to his loft, alone and misunderstood. From the shadows, he is greeted by his old fling, Alicia. She explains herself to Clark as she was released by her doctor and now can't use her powers because of her new stylish lead bracelet. Clark is hesitant to get close again on account of she tried to kill him.
Listen, she was great. We got along.
Too much.
Obviously, we had a vibe. We got along great. I think it was funny that she wore a bracelet that she could take off if she wanted to, which is a little bit of a thing to look forward. But no, we had a great time. She was so easy to be around. And I think Clark needs this at this moment. He needs somebody who understands that they're different and that they want to be accepted. I think that it shouldn't be unsafe. It should be called acceptance, I guess, in a way. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I kind of like that. Huh. Ryan?
Yeah, I agree. The next morning, Clark shares the news with his parents over breakfast. He's beginning to drink the Kool-Aid, but his parents try to convince him that Alicia is not the one. Mm. Mm. They would know a thing or two about that, wouldn't they?
Would they?
I don't know.
Tough conversation to have.
Yeah. Clark heads to school and meets up with Chloe to get more information on Alicia's time at Belle Reve. Apparently, there is no patient confidentiality because her entire situation is posted on a website.
True. Over at Central Kansas A&M College, we see Lana paying a visit to her ex, Jason. She wants more of an explanation of closure, but Jason won't reveal why he really wanted to end things. He's being very vague, dark, ambiguous.
He's also the opposite of Clark. He's also saying to Lana, you can't handle the truth, in a sense.
Later, Clark decides to ask Alicia on a date. They head to the ice rink like Rocky Balboa and... Adrian, you host some ice skating to the tune of Jesse McCarthy. Alicia reflects on their time together and how she feels like a different person now. And Clark continues to drink more of the Kool-Aid. Their date gets interrupted when, from afar, Alicia sees Dr. McBride. He's concerned that Alicia is spending more time with Clark because it was her obsession with him that sent her overboard. He then gets creepy, touching her face and requesting to have more sessions together.
This may be a fan question later, but the answer is no. I don't know how to ice skate. That was literally me not knowing how to ice skate.
I thought maybe they had you on like in your shoes or something.
No, what they did is they put me on ice skates. They gave me a hockey stick because obviously we're in Vancouver, and they're like, "Here, you won't fall over. You have a hockey stick." And I went around a couple times with a hockey stick, and then I was like, I'm just going to play the scene as it is. I don't know how to ice skate, and she's going to help me.
It was perfect.
And I just tried to keep it simple.
It was beautiful.
But you wanted to be there, though, ice skating?
I would have taught Tom how to skate around in an hour. I would have taught him how to ice skate in an hour, easily. I'm good like that. I'm hot like that. We out.
Sorry, maybe I misspoke. The crew said give him a hockey stick, let him get a little comfortable so he's not falling on his face. Because, you know, the camera is also on the ice. Following us,
but they could have also done a like a two T's, which is a rather a close up, and you could have had the stick or hold on to something as the crew's moving back for those shots. But
well, that leads me to the next episode. But I didn't keep track. Maybe Ryan did, but the next episode has the most close ups I've ever seen ever in an episode. But that's the next episode. I don't know if you noticed, but check it out.
I didn't notice.
Apparently, the camera crew
is fine.
Yeah, was also in this scene a lot. That's what Bryce said. You can see them in the reflection.
Really?
The glass.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can see them in the reflected boards.
Fun game to play if you're rewatching right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now having to decide between Clark and her freedom, Alicia heads back to her date. She has some hot cocoa with the help of Clark's heat vision. She nervously asks him to run away together to California. As she bites the edge of her cup, Clark begins to realize that she is not joking and something is off. Alicia leaves the date prematurely and heads back to Smallville High. She frantically looks around the torch to find some red K. We gotta say, because of course we need red K. My God.
You know, it's funny. Every time I see Alicia, there's been a couple moments where she does this cute thing where she's like biting her lip or biting her butt.
Hi, Clark.
It's really cute when he does it too.
Yeah. It's cute when she does it. The next day at Luther Mansion, we see Lex getting in a fencing session. He's interrupted by his felonious father and kissing his fencing partner goodbye. Hey, if you're going to fence, why not friggin' fence?
Jesus. Yeah.
Michael, was this something you guys agreed to? Can't see this being written here. No, I think it was written. I wouldn't have just kissed an actress just going, hey, I'm going to kiss you. You're my fencing partner. No, yeah. It was written. Like Lex is just, he's flinging with everybody. Lex tells his father he can't return the Luther Corp, but Lionel says that doesn't interest him anymore. He wants to amend things with his son, but Lex isn't drinking the Kool-Aid. Lionel's demeanor here reminds me of Confucius saying, we have two lives, and the second begins when we realize we only have one. A lot of people say that, but it's really true. Think about that. Not to be profound here, which I'll inadvertently be.
Well, you're born twice and you die twice.
No,
right?
It means that like we live two lives our whole lives, but at some point we live the one life.
First of all, your parents help raise you, and then hopefully maturity and adulthood, you figure out who you want to be and how you want your life
to be. Gonna live. Yeah. And also, life is a highway. I hate that song.
Later that night, Alicia goes to pay a final visit to Clark before leaving for Cali. She explains the whole situation with Dr. McBride and makes a final request to have Clark join her. Sadly, he says no, so Alicia enacts plan B, gifting Clark a red K laced necklace.
Next, we cut to a scene in the Torch where we see Lana connecting with Chloe. She shares her relationship woes and believes that Jason is ending things because he wants a special kind of relationship. Chloe's surprised they haven't been to Pound Town yet and urges her friend to not push herself out of her comfort zone to try and please someone else. And after the school special, we cut back to Clark laying it down in his loft to the tune of Simple Man, Michael's favorite. Yes, Bryce.
Simple Plan.
Oh, Simple Plan.
Bryce, Simple Plan.
Can I give you three roses already? In this episode, like, you're doing a great job. You've already.
After a quip about his stamina, they relate over their V cards and then discuss marriage. The scene ends with Clark removing her bracelet. That's true. Clark probably has incredible stamina. He could probably go on forever. He could probably just sex it up for hours and days on end.
I don't know. His fire eyes kind of get triggered pretty quick. So I think he's still in that stage.
You can't hide those fire eyes.
That's funny, right? It's like, let's try this. Well, there's a lot of concerns here. Yeah, one is that my heat vision may go right into your skull any moment.
Next, perhaps. We take a trip to Vegas and see Clark and Alicia getting married at the chapel, though they are both like under 18. But let's not talk about that. They are lawfully made husband and wife. Their next stop is the honeymoon suite to consummate the marriage.
How'd he pay for it? Like, how'd he get the suite? I know it's a stupid question, but maybe.
He's got the red kryptonite. He probably busted it into an ATM machine again.
I don't think they.
There you go.
I don't think they did because she can teleport everywhere and he can just super speed everywhere. So they could just sort of get into an open suite.
Maybe she
assuming
had money.
It's open.
Maybe Alicia had money.
Oh.
Maybe a doctor, whatever his name, gave her some money. Here's some money. A stipend for.
Back in Smallville, Jason heads to the Talon loft and interrupts Lana as she prepares to light her 100th candle. He shows up at his Pyro's ex place because he thought it was an emergency.
By the way, do you guys see the juxtaposition of the two scenes like back to back? That's pretty good.
Yeah, that was good.
A lot of sex.
We're gearing up for it. Not really a lot
too
of
much
it.
Sex. Too much sex.
He shows up at his Pyro ex's place because he thought it was an emergency. Instead, though, he sees Lana cautiously start to undress. Jason stops her and starts talking about his mother. That's one way to set the mood.
Mm-hmm. Boner kill.
He believes that their meeting was orchestrated and not random. Interesting.
Have you ever started talking about your mother in that moment?
Gross. The newlyweds are going at it. Good Lord, they're going at it. I mean, good gracious Lord Almighty, they are going at it. Smallville has become Largeville. Alicia, if you know what I mean, wants to have her first time with her husband to be sober. What? So she takes off his red cake necklace instantly, and Clark is thrown off guard, upset that he was drugged and tricked. She tries to reason with him, but he tells her he made a mistake and to beat it.
Just, you know, everything they were doing in that room, because I don't think they didn't actually do it, right?
No, they didn't do it.
But everything about them leading up to that point where it's about to happen, just the whole time was like, they have no idea how to have sex.
Yeah.
They're just throwing things, like they're stalling and they're being destructive.
Yeah, they're just making out and throwing shit around and just kind of being aggressive with each other and passionate, but they don't know that, you know, it takes one item to go into another item to make things happen.
I love that Ryan's like, they're just throwing things.
Well, they were just I don't know.
Go ahead, Ryan.
Oh, it just felt like they were both nervous and stalling and no one wanted to admit it.
Oh, they're high school kids.
Yep, I agree. The next day, Clark heads back home to regroup and is visited by Dr. McBride. He believes that Clark is the one who tricked Alicia to run away and get married. The doctor then explains now he's been able to do what nobody else has. Studying Smallville police reports to discover something is up with Clark.
Terrible for television storylines.
Yeah.
Alicia teleports in to try and apologize to Clark, but in turn, Dr. McBride pulls out his pistol and fires a shot.
It's not a pistol, it's a revolver. There's a difference, but just saying.
Who cares?
God.
To save her lover's life, Alicia teleports in front of the bullet, sacrificing herself. Second romantic interest that has fallen in Clark's arms, the Kwatchi wolf girl and Skinwalker. Surprisingly, Alicia Baker survived the shot and is recovering in Smallville Medical. Clark visits her and receives an apology. Despite them being the only ones who can relate to one another, Clark decides to part ways. Not a bad idea. And the episode concludes with a familiar shot, Lex tending his fire. He's visited by Lionel, who tries to convince his son that he has done playing chess games. Lex begins to crack a little as he offers his father a place to stay in the mansion. I like that scene. I thought that was really good. And you see Lex's sort of the wheels spinning and sort of like going, wait a minute, is he getting me again? Am I believing this?
One of my favorite things about this scene is how Lionel is about to leave. And a lot of times a character will start to leave and then turn around and speak and then leave. Glover found a way to not only start to leave, turn around, then come down and sit face to face in a seat with you and then leave later.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe this is an actor thing, but that's a lot of movement. It's a lot of movement that's to be justified.
The next day, as Clark has a conversation with his mother in the Kent kitchen, she explains their frustrations and disappointments with her son. Though he was drugged, Martha's beside herself about her son ruining the sanctity of marriage. And even though her son feels the most free with Alicia, she still expected Clark to have better judgment. Tom, you mentioned a while ago a scene with Annette expressing her frustrations and drawing real tears, emotions from you. Is that the scene?
Yep. Mother's disappointment is a big motivator.
Yeah.
As you know.
She was really disappointed. I felt it.
Yeah. The episode ends with Alicia paying a final visit to Clark and his barn. Despite their feelings for one another, they mutually agree to never be together. She says, I love you, and cries in his arms. Talkville is brought to you by AG1. Tom and I talk about this all the time. If you want to get healthy, if you want to feel better, if you want to have energy and focus, this is what we take, and it helps us. And we talk about it all the time, but AG1. Talkville and AG1, they go hand in hand together. Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should be at least simple. And that's why for a couple of years now, we've been drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in with water once a day, every day. And it helps us feel, I don't know, it helps me feel alive, I guess you could say.
Yeah, well, I just took a weekend vacation with my family and I don't know, something was going on and I realized I hadn't brought my AG1. And when I got home, I literally drank one. And I was like, oh, this is what I was missing. And that's the truth.
Well,
it really
was. I mean, what people don't realize is, you know, instead of taking all these vitamin pills every day, and I hate swallowing pills, AG1 helps cover my bases with high quality ingredients like pre and probiotics, which we all need, adaptogens, antioxidants, and whole food source nutrients. I know that if I drink it daily, I'm going to feel that extra boost. And that's what Tom was talking about. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. And that's why we've partnered with them so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com. drinkag1.com/talkville.
That's drinkag1.com/talkville. Check it out, and the travel packs are worth it.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Why don't we go to our wonderful guest? We have a beautiful guest today, and it's none other than Alicia herself. It's Sarah Carter. We are honored to have her here. Welcome to the show. One of the best guest stars you could have. A joy to work with, although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes. Welcome, Sarah Carter. Sarah, good to see you.
Good to see you guys. Yeah. I really wish that I had the mic and the headphones. The podcast world is one that I'm less familiar with, and I feel honored to be invited into your podcast.
You know, we're surprised you wanted to come, and I'm glad that we bumped into each other a while back. And then I was like, you know what? I'll Instagram her. And then we follow each other. And then the next thing you know, you said, of course, and you're here. What do you remember?
Oh no!
Mostly about the just being on the show, if anything.
There we go.
What is it you remember about being on the show? Let's start with that.
Wow. Well, first I remember Greg Gorman. He kind of, I want to say, invited me in and really saw my talent. I guess so. You know, he remembered me, like you're saying, Tom, for Falling Skies and offered me a role on that. But I think the role that I played on Smallville ended up being one that was pretty special. It was about, you know, the two of us seeing each other's secret. And, you know, Greg actually is a pretty spiritual guy, not religious necessarily, but he is somebody who follows his instinct and has a sense of, you know, who's going to bring what quality and how they're going to fit into whatever show. And I did feel like this role was one that I was sort of, you know, we all have roles that you're sort of like made for. You're the person that is meant to kind of carry that. I call it medicine now because I've become, you know, a little kooky that way. But I think the reason why Smallville is such a successful show is because it's about, you know, sort of the beyond human, right? Like the superhuman. And I always felt like that was a bit of a secret, like whatever sparkle, whatever, you know, drives me. And that was a fun story to tell. How it can make you crazy, like the permission to have both the like innocence and then the complete insanity that goes with feeling different and, you know, not fitting in. And there's the only one person in the world who really sees me, that whole sort of like young love.
But what was great about that is the fact that not only that, you weren't just a freak of the week. Usually they come in, they're bad, they go away. You had so much charm and you brought so much that they did. They brought this sweetness and this vulnerability to your character.
I don't think when we shot these episodes that I was so much aware. I was just playing the scene and you were so easy to connect to. And I mean this in the best way, but like Michael and John Glover, even Annette, and not discounting anybody, but when you can be in a scene with somebody who you can sit and listen to, it's a joy. And I know I had that with you. And what I saw looking back now, I didn't know it at the time, but the intimacy of sharing that secret that you're talking about between the two characters made it all work.
Yeah.
We were both trying to, it's the first other person that understands what we're going through. And we fell into it very easily. And it was very enjoyable.
It was undeniable, the chemistry you guys had. Undeniable. No. In fact, so undeniable that I was jealous. I was jealous and I was like, why don't I get to act with her?
Well, it would have been funny to see Lex walk in on Clark talking to Alicia, because Lex would have been like, oh, really? Because you had so many ideas about Clark and Lana's relationship. You would have been like, oh, Clark, maybe you should move on.
How do you remember the chemistry and the excitement that you guys had on set and you brought and it translated so well on screen?
It was real. There was such a warmth, just a real invitation to go to that authentic, sparkly, vulnerable place. Yeah, it was easy. It was easy. And I think, you know, testament to you being the person who's kind of holding the field of the show, the star of the show, you really had that quality in your gaze that I could really like enter into your world, the world of Smallville. And so I felt very...
I needed help.
Yeah, maybe there was some of that, but it felt like, you know, it just felt like a gift for both of us to really just relax into the opportunity to be in this, romance that was so innocent. I think that's what made it very different. You have an innocence to you that's just innate, and I think I share that. And
looking back, because it all came back to me, the scene in ice skating. I don't know if you remember this, but I don't know how to ice skate. I know you do, but I don't know how to ice skate.
I remember
being there, being like, I'm kind of, and you look like you know how to ice skate, and somebody. Of course, we're in Canada. Somebody goes, here's a hockey stick. Go around three times with a hockey stick. And I'm like practicing with a hockey stick as it goes around. But when it comes to Clark kind of being like, and Alicia being like, here, grab my hand. That's the real thing. Like I was going to fall.
It reminded me of the second I was watching it is the scene in Rocky when Rocky and Adrian are in the skating rink. And he's like,
hey, I forgot about that.
And he's walking around. Yeah. It was a sweet vibe. I think the writers probably...
This big dude who can't move and needs help. Yeah.
Well, it was cool. It was a little vulnerable and sweet, but I liked that scene a lot. I was surprised they did a scene like that. They're like, oh, we're going to have him ice skate. Why? Why can't they just be walking and talking like typical Smallville?
Can we talk about that? Like in the context of the show, was our storyline a bit different from the rest of the show? Because it's.
Yeah.
Right? Like it did feel.
You had an ice skating rink for your character. Nobody else had an ice skating rink. Lana and Clark never went to an ice skating rink. They went to like a field or something else. But like
we went to
your character was singled out for sure.
Yeah, we went to Vegas. We got married in Vegas. Like that's I liked the darkness too of my character. Like we're talking about the innocence, but then they also went the distance with it. And
yeah, call back again to Beeman, who was there. You know what I mean? Like. You can't do wrong with Beeman because he's gonna guide you. You're safe with Beeman. And I think that whole Vegas hotel room thing, I don't think we could have done that if Beeman wasn't there. You know what I mean? Like, he's got your back.
Could there be any more sex?
That's the most ever we've seen.
I mean, it was just it was incessant. It was like, it's not like I didn't like it. I mean, it was fine. But I just noticed it was like, wow, they continue to what was probably a quarter of a page turned into a 3-page makeout scene that just kept going. And I was like, good Lord, we get it. They have chemistry. Sarah, did you think you were going to become a regular on the show? Did they ever talk about how much they liked you? And they're like thinking about maybe writing something in where you're more of a regular character?
No, I mean, they did. Definitely say, you know, you're coming back and we love you. And I actually got this sweet certificate from Warner Brothers saying that I was the favorite guest star of all time. So, you know, it was something really special. They let me, I mean, it's true that I'm still kind of recognized for my little part on Smallville. People were affected by Crazy Alicia.
That's what you think when you watch it. You're like, it's Crazy Alicia, Crazy Alicia. And then,
crazy.
Oh, wait a minute. She's got a backbone. She's got, you know, she's different from the others. And I did like that a lot. Was that something you talked to the writers about? Did you want to have something else? Did you, if you're going to come back?
It was in the writing. This was definitely a role that felt, like I said, like something that I understood the depths of. And maybe I brought something more to it. Who knows? But it was like all of those moments were there. They wrote a love story. They wrote a story about two young people who felt truly seen and safe to be all of themselves with each other. And they'd never had that. I mean, it really is as simple as I remember falling in love, you know, in my early 20s and feeling like, oh my God, this is it. This is the person I want to be with for the rest of my life. And then you realize, oh no, this is just young love. This is just.
Isn't that funny how everybody has a memory of like that deep love or that something that they felt that they just, it's almost like doing ecstasy the first time. Not that I do it a lot. No, I, dude, it's
and then
been
you,
like.
And then you learn from it.
And then you crash. Never want to do it again.
But like when I first, I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I guess they could say like heroin addicts. They say that first time you're always, you know, chasing that high. I wouldn't know, but like, you know what I mean? That's my analogy is like, sort of like, you know, when that happens, do you ever really feel like that again? And it's rare. And like to have that chemistry on set, like in a sort of fake world, is rare too.
Sarah, I just think you're able to tap into what I think Clark was going through at the same time of being able to reveal these intimate things that of acceptance that he hasn't been able to have. And I just remember acting with you where it was just like, I could just listen and I could just be there. And there was no like rush. There was no timing to it. We were just talking to each other. And I think the characters fell into that so well. And I really enjoyed it. And by the way, going back to what Michael just said, no one in the history of the world has ever woken up and said, no human has ever said this. That no one has ever woken up the next day and said, I'm so glad I did all those drugs last night. No one has ever said that.
No. No, they haven't.
Ever. I think that's where we, you know, on many levels, I think you and I connected, especially with the characters. We're just, your character was in the same, they just want to be seen, like you said before, and accepted. And I think that it was just fun to be with you.
Thanks. It was so fun to be with you too.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
I was thinking about that comment about, you know, there's no human being who has woken say they're so glad you did all those drugs last night. I was trying to equate that to love, like, you know, kind of full circle. And the kind of love that these two characters had, you know, it's amazing how destructive it is. Like, and I wonder how human that is, that it can actually make you crazy and ruin your life. One of the moments I remember on set was feeling like I wasn't allowed to talk to you outside of shooting. And that was really surprising. Like there was a boundary held, and I felt like, oh wow, am I dangerous? Because I was young. We were young at the time. And so it was that one of the first roles I'd had where I was managing that kind of chemistry that you're, you know, it's like it is make believe. We are cultivating this love, this energy, this kind of sexual chemistry. And I was doing my job. And then I remember like somebody saying basically like keep it on set. Keep it professional. Like they said.
Was it Steve? Steve
it
Wardrobe.
Was somebody on the crew. It was second AD or something that can't. And so I've always been curious about that moment. So I'm bringing it up now. But yeah, it's a formative moment for me where I was like, wow, I'm dangerous. I am.
Were you nervous at all when you first got the part coming in? And I always ask this question, but you know, for guest stars to come on, it's very difficult. You're entering a world that's already, everybody knows what they're doing. There's confidence, there's this, and you have to come in and you have to be brave and know your stuff and be a professional. Was that difficult in the beginning? Were you nervous at all?
Of course. I don't think there's ever been a job I've done where I'm not a little nervous.
Not to interrupt you, but your character came in as an outsider. So that kind of sometimes helps.
It all felt natural to me, though. And I think because I felt so taken care of by Greg and so, you know, well chosen. He met with me outside of SAD and asked me. That's true too. Greg asked me about this character. He saw the audition and then we went out for lunch and he asked me a lot of questions. And I do sense that he took some of those thoughts into the writer's room, because there was definitely more on the page when I arrived on set that had to do with what we ended up and what we've been talking about on this podcast, which is, you know, the true love.
You're doing so much now. Like, you're directing, you have a band, you're married, you have a kid, you're like, you know, it's like we're adults now. Well, you are. I don't speak for myself. But what do you enjoy about acting now? Like your life now? What is it? It's very different probably, right?
I enjoy life in general now, which is a big statement and one that's taken my whole life until this point probably to get to. I think being an actor in particular, being an artist is a really like strange, curvy journey. And I am a person who's always wanted family more than anything. I've always known that, and I never got into this business chasing the glamour of it. I never cared for, you know, stardom or I was just pure in my desire to just like play and do theater and follow my heart wherever that led me. And I was always looking for this, like looking for love. And so now I think having had that for 13 years, yay, amazing, so hard, so hard. I've been able to relax into, yeah, the music and the filmmaking and, you know, putting the stories that I really want to lean into the world. And then acting has just been something that's really easy for me. It's like, it's always a gift when it comes along. It feels like there's an exchange there. I tend to just say yes to offers and then go wherever I go in the world. And yeah, you're right. It's, you know, the older I get, the more I realize it's just, I've done it. Like I'm just kind of.
Yeah. This has been an absolute joy. I love having you here. It's been so long and you got the same spark you always did. And it was fun to just kind of talk about. And I know just watching you guys and watching you talk and rehash all this stuff was just really exciting to me. And it felt like, yeah, you know, I could understand why that chemistry was so great, because you guys just got each other and there was, you know, it was a moment in time and everything clicked. And I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome. And thank you so much for being here.
So, you know what it was to your set? There was, and Tom, there was no ego. You were always just so grateful. For me, I didn't see an ego.
There is now.
But I saw somebody who was just so grateful for the opportunity to be on this show, and you just had an enormous amount of humility and openness, and that did teach me a lot that I took with me.
Well, I will say this, and thank you for saying that. I will say this. I was so grateful for you and the guest stars that came on the show and anybody else I acted with, because I was so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I really didn't know what I was doing. And so when I could act with you guys, I was like, thank you all for being here, because me by myself, I'd explode.
Yeah.
So, and you're a big part of that. So thank you very much.
I have to say this too, as much as you think Tom didn't have an ego or was very grateful, because he was, knowing him so well now and being like brothers and spending so much time together, I see so much gratitude in him, and I see him, yeah, his eyes are looking in a different way. They're looking at things in a
That's
different
true.
Perspective, and it's a joy to see. So I think, you know, so kudos, Tom. And thank you, Sarah, for being here.
When we saw each other at the grocery store not too long ago, it's all nice, because you are that, like you're saying, Michael, you said, I'm so happy for you. And it was like, you know, I felt awful in that moment. I'm so happy for you. And I was thinking, like, what are you happy for? We hadn't had a long
time. But you forget. It was like during COVID, I had a mask on. You had a mask on. You were with your daughter. And I was at Whole Foods that I've only been to once in my life, because I was visiting town, because my wife and I and our two kids have moved away. And I'm walking down an aisle. I look over and there's this blonde haired woman with this mask on. I'm like, Sarah? And she's like, Tom? It was like the weirdest thing.
It was a moment. Yeah.
We recognized each other with masks on and we had a quick chat. It was great. And again, I mean, of course, I'm so happy for you and I'm sure you are for me and for all of us. But it's just great energy to be around people who want people to do great things.
I think you were talking about my kid, though. I felt like, yeah, you were talking about Alice and just like, I don't know, maybe surviving. I have no idea. But I was like, yeah, we're so happy for me. And I'm so happy for you. But yeah, anyway, you're amazing. You guys are just the best.
Thanks, Sarah.
We loved it. If you notice we're wearing different clothes, you're really good. Really smart. Highlights and lowlights. Cautionary tales of following your heart versus listening to your parents. Putting out versus doing things on your time. Thoughts on the convenient storylines of people just being let out of jail. I mean, it's very convenient. We have to sometimes let go of disbelief, suspend disbelief, if you will. In this show, you're going to have to suspend disbelief or you won't get through the series. If you don't suspend disbelief, you don't make it through.
Or send in your version of the scripts.
Do you think this is a good episode, by the way? Or is this the worst episode ever?
I think it's the best. It may be one of the best non-great episodes.
I think it's one of the best worst episodes ever.
Yeah.
What about title? We talked about title.
Yeah, the title. What was the title of this one? Unsafe?
Yeah.
I think it should have been called Unwatchable. No, I'm kidding. I didn't think it was. I just thought it was just too much sex, too much. What are we doing? We're in Vegas. We're in, you know, here. There's a lot going on. Mm-hmm. And a little bit of the real storyline here that we need to follow and move the story along throughout the series. But there was still some good stuff. If you were, you know, a young teen or you're like, you know, you're watching two hot people get it on. I mean, that's kind of interesting, I guess. You know, when I was younger, if I watched something like this, I'd be like, whoa, because I couldn't get nailed in a wood shop. It definitely felt like after school programming at times. Interesting things of note.
Interesting things of
note. The age of consent in Kansas. Guess what it is, Tom?
No, I'm not. 16. I will not answer 16. The question.
The original airing of this episode concluded with a public service announcement by Allison Mack urging teens to practice safe sex and included the website teenpregnancy.com.
Oh, no.
Chloe admits to Lana that she lost her virginity to a fellow staffer at the Daily Planet during her internship. She names him as Jimmy. It's only later in the series that we confirm his surname is Olson. James Olson, known as Jimmy Olson, also known as Jimbo Olson to some of his hick friends.
It's just good.
I grew up in Indiana. I could say that. The shot of the Vegas Strip was stock footage from Ocean's 11, 2001.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. All right. We are with our special guest. This is our first time we've done this. This is a top tier patron who supports the podcast. We love you guys. Patreon.com/Talkville if you want to be a top tier patron and get on the show. So, Charu, how are you?
Charu. Hi.
Charu, how long have you been a Smallville fan?
Since it started, from the beginning. My dad started with me.
Really? That's so sweet.
Yeah. When you were like five?
No. Oh, my God. 2000. I was in my 20s, I want to say.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is your father still with us?
No, unfortunately.
Oh,
no.
I'm sorry.
I won't make it as sad. I lost him in 2022. So.
I'm sorry, but you'll always have Smallville, right? Together, that was your thing.
We'll have Smallville, yes. I'm actually passing it down to with my kids.
Oh, I love that. See, that's cool. Yeah. That's really cool. So you watched today's episode, right? This episode was called Unsafe?
Yeah, for like the 10th time. Yes, I did.
What about this episode do you like?
I love that Alicia came back because you... Tom, you and Sarah have such great chemistry that it was just, I'm glad that they didn't take that for granted.
Yeah,
A lot of good things come out this episode and next episode that are really important to the storyline. So, yeah, it was a great episode. I really liked it.
It was nice to see Clark being able to share these things with another character that could accept him. We made a joke earlier that this episode should have been called Acceptance, instead of unsafe. But I guess that's the warning.
Yeah.
Now, there's really sweet moments, too, like moments that like Clark doesn't get to be a regular teenager. And I find in this episode and with Alicia, he really gets to be himself more. That's nice to see. One big thing for me that was an issue was it's kind of glazed over. But Alicia says, like, I know everything about you, about the red K. And I don't get how. Yeah, I don't understand how she found out. Like, how does that happen?
We talked about this. And the thing is, the only thing I could think of is either a scene was cut or maybe there's some scene where they're lying in bed. And she's like, you know, I'll tell you one of my biggest secrets is my weakness is this. And I never told anybody. He's like, well, kryptonite, red kryptonite's my kind of weakness. And, you know, maybe they were just talking about it. And that's the only way it makes any sense. But I don't know.
Bryce, our producer, jumped on. He goes, it's a plot flaw that, you know, when I watched it and probably when I acted in it, I don't think I ever asked that question because she had that knowledge. But I think Michael's right. There's probably that bedroom conversation, perhaps.
Yeah.
I know Michael would always tell somebody that he had red kryptonite in his life.
Well, here's the key. Go ahead.
There's a partner where Clark actually asks her how she knows.
And she doesn't say.
She says, I know everything about you. It's like glazed over.
It is glazed. It's a Brian Glazer right there. you know, I think that this is what happened. The writers are in the room and they're like, blah, blah, and kryptonite. Somebody goes, well, how does she know about the red kryptonite? No one's going to ask that question. Don't worry about that. And then Sheru comes on here 15 years later and she wants to know. What is, so far in the series, what is your favorite thing that's happening to this point in the series that where we're at right now with this episode?
You guys just aired it, I guess. Transference was my absolute favorite episode.
Oh, same.
That's like Tom's.
You guys were great. I loved it.
Well, Michael Shattered? Was okay, but what John about and Shattered? I were great.
There's another one coming up. Like, I won't give any spoilers, but Onyx is a really good one as well. So.
Ah, that was a good one. I forgot about that one. Ryan's going to like band. That one.
One of Michael's favorite bands.
Do you have anything, Sheru, for Ryan?
A lot like Michael. He's watching this series for the first time.
And how are you liking it this season?
I'm liking a lot. A lot of the time with the favorite scene, I'm trying my best not to upset Tom and trying to give him.
You're trying to make it easy for Tom. I'm trying to make it easy for Tom. All the time.
No,
Tom got upset with me.
What do you mean by upset?
Because of the way I read out. It's fine. I'm through it. We talked about it. I'm good.
Yeah.
But no, it's been fun. It's crazy because I think I was supposed to watch it 4 years ago. Yeah.
What, Sheru, what is the one thing, because obviously you like the show, you watch with your dad, you're handing it down to your
love
kids.
The show.
But
love
what,
it, yeah.
What about the show did you wish there wasn't as much in or much of, and what is the one thing you didn't like of the show, even though you really liked it, one part of it that you didn't like?
Well, usually I go season to season, and this season I just found there was a lot of the symbols and Lana, I just thought,
yeah,
I don't know.
Me too.
I just didn't feel like it moved it along, the story along.
Yeah, but didn't Jensen make it okay? Didn't Michael agrees, but didn't Jensen make it better? Because Jensen also, his character, Jason Teague, was like, what's going on here? Like, you actually had a character within the story who was kind of calling bullshit, which was fun to watch.
Yeah, no, but it would have been great if they maybe used a different way to do it. Because Jensen, he was great. He was a great addition. But I feel like they could have gone a different way with it. The symbols, the signs, it was too much. And I feel like I'm going to spoil things, so I don't want to talk about future episodes.
Things,
but there were certain episodes that were just,
you can
know,
talk about whatever you want.
Spell, I believe. And
Spell. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Spell.
Certain episodes, I just thought, oh, my goodness, where are they going now?
Yeah, but what is it about Smallville that you'll watch an episode that just sucks and you'll still stick around? What is it that you'll go, you know, I'm going to still stick around for this series?
I honestly can't say anything sucks about Smallville.
Well, this episode Spell you didn't like. So if you didn't like an episode, what keeps you in it, even though some episodes you may not like?
While you were thinking, I'm just saying, like, you probably watched the show with your dad when you had to wait 7 days to watch it.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yeah,
so you had time to percolate, so you wanted to go back and see what these characters were up to. So I don't know if that had something to do with it. Now with the streaming, it's just a different experience for a fan.
What is it that you love? What are the things you loved about Smallville that made you keep coming back for more?
Honestly, you and Tom, you guys were great. I just loved, and Kristen, I just loved watching you guys. And the story, I know there were certain episodes that were a little out there, but overall the story was great. Like, I loved it.
I'm glad you're supporting the podcast. It means a lot to us. Without Patreon, you know, we wouldn't be here. Hotline.
Talk Phil.
Let's go hotline. To the hotline. We'll start out with patron privileges. And here we go with Michael P. Michael always gets on here. He always has some good questions or statements. We'll see what he says. Michael.
Hey, guys. It's Michael P. from Texas. In the episode on Safe, we see a few new sets in Smallville, including a Vegas chapel, a Vegas hotel room, both of which we never see again. In regards to the behind the scenes, how much time and effort goes into creating these sets for 5 to 10 minutes worth of footage? Love to hear more. Thanks.
It's you know what? It's easy. They're just like, what would a Vegas room look like? And let's get stock footage of the thing that says Vegas. And that's it. You're in Vegas. You don't really need to see anything else. We get it. So it's pretty standard, I would say.
Okay, but can I just jump in? The standard, you need Rob Mayer and the guys who did set deck and built everything. They need 6 days out. That's how long it takes, 6 days to get ready because they build these things. Yeah.
Here's Ronnie.
Hi, my name is Ronnie. I'm from Pittsburgh. I thought it was pretty messed up how mad Clark's parents got at him for not having better judgment when he was just trying to do the right thing by helping Alicia, who was traumatized and very scared of that super creepy doctor. And I'm curious what you guys thought about that whole situation. Thank you so much. Bye.
My parents would beat the shit out of me for less than this. You know, are they harsh with him? Yes. But should they be harsh? Yes. Are they trying to guide him and make him do the right things? Yes. Sometimes it gets convoluted, but it's better than parents not listening to you at all. I feel like Martha and Jonathan actually listen to their son and he can confide in them and he could be honest with them for the most part. And it's something I never understood or knew. And I think it's pretty beautiful that they have that relationship. And I know friends that have their relationships with their parents. Bob K. Old Knudsen. He takes the athletic greens and loves it.
Hey, guys. Knudsen, New York. When Lionel walks in during fencing training, he has a line, "You're too busy playing with your sword to speak to your father." Was that written or did John come up with that one?
I think it was written, but it's obviously referring to, you playing with yourself again, Lex? Playing with your sword? Did you think about that?
I'll tell you why it's written, because if you think of how the camera is moving at that time and he says that, usually actors don't come up with lines when the camera's moving. It's usually a stagnant situation that you
ad-lib. The camera's just on him so he could say a line and improvise and not like have to deal with all the other stuff. Yeah, I agree. Michael.
Hey guys, Michael here from Bendigo, Australia. My question is for season 4, episode 11, Unsafe. Would you all have liked to see Alicia for a handful more episodes as a crime-fighting duo with Clark? Thanks, guys.
I thought they did a good job of having Alicia come in and deceptively earning Clark's trust and then breaking it and then coming back again and doing the same. I don't know how much more room Clark would have for her.
Yeah, I agree. The story needs to move on. Ray?
What's up, Michael, Tom, and Ryan? This is Ray out of Baytown, Texas. Mainly for Tom, it's talked about a lot, the exhaustion of Clark and Lana's relationship just constantly being fed into as far as all the drama and whatnot. So it makes me wonder, do you, Tom, appreciate the Alicia Clark relationship or the Lana Clark relationship better? Like, which one would you have wanted to see succeed if Clark and Lois wouldn't have worked out? Thanks, guys.
I think there was something about Clark. Once the thing that kept Clark away from Lana was revealing the truth, and I think with Alicia he was able to express a version of himself, which I saw on screen rewatching this, I thought was pretty fun. He got to relax, he got to have fun, he got to enjoy himself. Around Alana, he's always a little very uptight, very protective. So I wish Alicia could have been a little different for Clark. That's all. But
I like it.
Yeah.
Here's Kyle.
Hi, Tom, Michael, and Ryan. This is Kyle from Jacksonville, Florida. Tom, did you have to pretend like you didn't know how to skate, or did you really not know how to on ice?
We talked about that. Yeah, the skating. He talked about that one. And
I don't know how to skate. I couldn't do what Michael does when he plays hockey. I don't know. I'm sure I could pick it up pretty quick.
Yeah, you're an athlete. Frankie, but you can't play hockey. It's too hard for you. It really takes athletic ability.
What's up, fellas? This is Frankie from Phoenix, Arizona. This episode hit me when I was a child and hits me now as an adult, especially when Clark is holding her after, where did you channel that emotion? Where did that emotion come from? What examples did you use to get you to that point? I love you guys. You guys are my childhood heroes. God bless.
Love you too, my friend Frankie.
I think the quick answer is I thought about the sadness of wanting it to be different.
How about also this is the first time you felt something like this other than Lana, and maybe this could be real. Maybe you can finally find true love, and it's heartbreaking when it doesn't work out. Lord, I know that. Anyway.
Extreme loss.
John.
I'm surprised there wasn't a scene in The Loft with Lana to talk about it.
Johnny.
Hi, this is John Georges from Florida. I wondered if at any point in time the producers ever considered having Alicia on for a season or more, maybe as a recurring character or even making her a regular, seeing as Sarah Carter had such a great chemistry with Tom. And would you guys have enjoyed having Sarah Carter on as a regular if they would have made that decision? I love the show, love Smallville, and love Alicia. I wish you would have stayed on.
Thanks, Johnny. You just got a crush on Alicia like the rest of us. Don't lie. John, but we talked about that. I think some guest stars fit in. She was great, she would have fit in, but that storyline would have probably gotten old. I mean, it was all about connection and finally meeting someone, but you can't have them, and that's what I think what that story was about.
Michael, I'm sure you get this at the cons too. We hear people talk about like, I'm so sad that, Smallville ended. And I'm like, I know, it was only like 10 years and 220 something episodes. I get it. There's shows that I watch that I don't want characters to leave or I don't want things to change. And that's just
the way it goes.
That's also just how it works.
Zach?
Yeah. Hi, this is Zach from McKinney, Texas. This question is for season 4, episode 11, Unsafe. Just wondering if you wish that there would be more quote unquote freak of the weeks that come back rehabilitated. Obviously in this episode we see Alicia come back.
I know your answer.
No, Zach. The story is interesting enough. You've got so many compelling characters and storylines and things that you can do with the regular cast that obviously bringing in characters makes it interesting. But the freak of the week, I think, was a crutch that had to be sort of incorporated in the show. And it was a necessity, but sometimes they overdid it, which I think they know. But it's hard to write again 22 episodes a year. And but it's not my favorite thing unless, every once in a while they'll come up with a great character. But no. Here's international folks. Darren N. Alicia uses red kryptonite on Clark to persuade him to follow his heart and not his head. How do you think Alicia found out about the effect red K has on Clark?
It's a good question. Ryan, I feel like you or Bryce would have tracked this. I didn't track this. I kind of just let it go that she knew.
Bryce had posed this question in the recap earlier, and I don't know.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense how she did, but I let that go. It was like, she maybe in one of their conversations. Think about it this way. Maybe a conversation that was more subtext that they had talked about, and he's like, he's telling all their secrets. It's like, yeah, and I had this red kryptonite. When I do that, I become a different person. I do that. And she goes,
Did anybody say Clark was the smartest guy in the world? I don't think so.
No name. Thoughts on a guest star like Alicia playing a pretty pivotal role in being the one to tell Chloe Clark's secret? That was, we'll talk about that in the next episode, won't we?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Rosenbaum rating system. We're going to go to Ryan first.
Rosenbaum.
And give
rating.
Us an honest answer, Ryan. You're biting your nails.
I am biting my nails.
Are you nervous about this answer? Are you lying already?
Yeah. One.
One rose from one Mr. Rose. Ryan Tellez.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Welling.
Listen, I kind of want to give it a one, but so many people talk about the relationship between Alicia and Clark. Like, I think he needs a 1.5. Like, this is a moment for Clark's that he needs in his development. So I'm going to give it a little more. Not a 2, but a 1.5.
I'm going to give this one a half a rose.
Okay.
I'm going to give it a half a rose, but let's wait till the next episode because I think it was better. So let's wait to see what I give that one. But death and save count, and zero save dead, count. Zero saved. Alicia technically didn't save Clark from dying. And through 11 episodes, 7 dead, 22 saved. Series 99 dead, 125 saved. And it's time for Ryan's
damn
favorite scene. Tom, don't say anything. We just have to guess. No more guessing.
All right. Three scenes.
Every time I guess, I'm
three
right.
Scenes. Three scenes. All right. Scene 1, Alicia taking the bullet. Scene 2, Martha disappointed in Clark. Scene 3, Clark and Alicia in the loft.
Which scene in the loft? Are they having sex?
No, at the end, where they're just like having a nice heart-to-heart.
All right, Tom, go first.
Scene 2. Wait, what?
I know. It does it on the new FaceTimes. You said number 2. What's number 2?
Martha, disappointment in Clark.
I'll go with that, too, because she's great.
Yeah, it was that one.
Okay.
She was
that
good.
That was good. That was good performance. Thank you, Ryan, for acknowledging it. But
we get to wait till marriage, which is sort of a, you know, it's a little antiquated, but like it just like her performance was great. And, you know, I just
Her performance. Thanks, Ryan.
And
her
yours. And she made you cry. And I could feel it. I could feel the tension.
Crying was not written. I remember that.
Stick around next week as we try to fit in and discuss season 4, episode 12, Pariah. Let's take the discussion online. Let us know your thoughts on the episode over on our socials at Talkville Podcast or Talkville Pod. Show the support by joining Patreon. So many perks. Today we had a patron on and it was awesome. And you could be that person. Join Patreon today. And the TalkvillePodcast.com, tons of great merch. You don't want to miss out. And inside of you online merch, there's Leximus scripts, there's ship keys, there's a bunch of stuff. So go to the Inside of You online store. And if you want more information like merch on the show or a hotline number, you can find that all in the description. And my Instagram at the Michael Rosenbaum link tree for cons and other stuff like that.
And always hold on to Smallville.
Now it's time for our beloved patron shout outs. These folks are the top tiers. They get back to the show in so many ways. And I love you guys. Thank you. And here we go. Nikki G, Leanne P, Raj C, Santiago M, Little Lisa, Thomas the Leaf Blower, Shane W, Sophie M, Betsy D, Abby P, Ray H, Fatima T, thanks for your question, Karen Apple M, 99 More, Leilani N, Brett G, Always Hold On to Smallville, Estevan G, Garrett W, Bob K, Kimberly L, Tom N, Jason W, Osama A, Glenda the Good Witch, Parisho, Lana Rhymes with Banana W, Nancy D, Brian G, Sarah W, YVR Grips, Anna M, Amanda R, Teddy 127, Michael P, Ryan R, Jordan M, Randy B, Craig G, Jarrell, Heather and Greg, who we just saw, I Made Talkville Say Butts, Brian Hinnenkamp, Eric K, Kristen B, Nanine W, Stephanie K, Darth Achilles, Finky, Early is on Time, damn, who's that? Janetta E, and Dead Vid.
Well done. I'm going to take it with General Zod, Jammin' Jay on WKRP. Big D, Doug R, Carlos C, Tommy, Z Boston 68, Ken, the Limerick Guy, Corey L, Mr. Homar K, Jesse C, Claire M, D Brown, Kiernira M, Jules M, Eldon Supremo, Leslie V, Mick Burtz, Ginger Moose, please remember Janice from NC. I imagine this North Carolina. Christoph S. Michelle M. Drew. Sebastian F. The Wolfie. We love you, Wolfie. Dak Flando?
Dak Flando.
Jesus.
Dak Fiando?
Is that a Star Wars thing? Matthew and Lincoln B. The Coopers. Marion Louise L. CGO. Not RC3. What? Cindy C, Shannon, Fofanin, Tina E, and Matrick.
Jen T, Randy S, Cassie B, Brad A, Felicia R, Danny L, JS, Rachel D, Ginderous Prime, and Nate Doggy Dog. When you're rich, you aren't crazy, you're eccentric. Chicken Flower, Sammy Sharman, Carrie Ann, Patrick R, The Alexander Castle, Daryl E, Charlene A, Lady L. Tom, finish it off.
spicy chicken. Who doesn't love it? Jenny B, Anna B, Monica T, Yale M, Eric M, Jeffrey K, Tony K,
Pip Kenobi.
Thank you. Previously on Smallville, Matt C, Deep Pro, CJ,
Sigal, and Devin.
Those guys. Chadwick B, Keith B, Major Paradox, the patron saint of Smallville.
Libertariat.
Thank you. Christy H, Olga, and Procop.
Olga was my grandmother's name. In fact, the O in my middle name is from Olga. Guys, thank you. Patreon.com/talkville. We love you, and thanks for listening to another podcast. I hope you're enjoying it. There's so many perks now with Patreon, and you could ask questions, you get your name shouted out, and much more. And we adore you, and thank you for listening. Tommy, good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you guys.